You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
See, we started this year with a sermon series that is our theme for the whole year. It's love your life. That's what that heart is all about. The cross equals love. Amen. And our life is a gift from God. See, I'm convinced that God is good. Do you believe that? Yeah, do you believe that? For real? God is good? See, I'm convinced that God is good. I'm also super stoked that you're a responsive crowd today. That's fantastic. You all had your espressos out there, didn't you? Got that sermon juice in you. You're ready to roll, aren't you? Come on now. See, I'm convinced that God is good. Not on some philosophical level, like, God is good up there, you know, or on some everything happens for a reason level. No. I believe God is good. Everything happens for a reason. I hate that saying. Because they say it when, like, you break your leg, or they say it when someone gets cancer or something, and people go, everything happens for a reason. Like, God did that? Like, what? Like, God didn't do that. They confuse that scripture, all things work out for the benefit of those who love the Lord, with everything happens for a reason. No, God didn't do that. Everything happens for a reason says that God did not do that, but God does work all things for the benefit. So if something bad happens, God gets involved in your situation and will make the devil's evil schemes turn around and bless you. That's the scripture. People say everything happens for a reason. Sometimes things happen to me because I'm an idiot. You know, like something bad, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, because you're stupid. Yeah. Sometimes I work onto a building site with my thongs on with my flip-flops on instead of my work boots. That'd be a different experience, wouldn't it? Yeah. Instead of my work boots and I step on a nail and it goes through my foot, you know why that nail happened? Not because God made it happen, not for some philosophical reason, but because I was dumb and went into a work site with flip-flops on instead of work boots, right? Everything happens for a reason. Come on, give me a break. I don't believe that God is good on a everything happens for a reason or on a philosophical level. I'm saying God is good today. Right now, right here, in your life, God is good. Do you believe that? Not philosophically, but tangibly good. You can see it, you can taste it, you can feel it. And I want you to know and understand that God is interested in the details of your life. And if you couldn't feel it driving to church today, you will know it as you walk out of this place in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Last week we started the Have a Laugh sermon series. That's what all these pictures are that you're being seeing around. And there's a reason for it. Too many people believe that God is a jerk. Too many people believe that God is mean-spirited. Too many people believe that God is the mean man on an anthill with a magnifying glass. No, that was me. God is good. Right? God is good. We want people to come to church, and we don't care if people accuse us of that's an airy-fairy sermon. Airy-fairy sermon. What? Everyone believes that God hates them. People believe that God is mean, that he's going to hurt them, that he's going to punish them. People don't realize that Christ took the punishment on the cross. This is an important sermon series. This is an important thing to lay a foundation where you understand the goodness and the greatness of God and how that affects how you can approach him in worship and approach him in prayer and approach him as you read the word. It's important for people to understand that God is good. The 5 points about laughter in last week's sermon were: the world will see our joy and hear our laughter and praise God because of it, Psalm 126. It will help you get through a bad day, Proverbs 15. In God's presence, there is real joy. Touch a neighbor, say real joy. Laughter is medicine for the soul. God turns sorrow into joy, and those who weep now will laugh soon, Luke chapter 6. Get the podcast. If you weren't here last week, listen to it. Share it. Give it to your friends. Tell them. Get their butts in church. God is good. The womb will not fall down when they walk in. Amen. In fact, the church gets stronger the more of them that walk in. Do you believe that? This week is week 2, and the title of my message is Why So Serious? Why So Serious? Yeah, I titled my sermon from a line that the Joker said in The Dark Knight. I did do that. God can still move. Today I want to talk to you about having a laugh at your own mistakes. All right? Don't be so serious. Don't put this ridiculous pressure of perfect expectation on yourself. See, I think this is a great message for Father's Day weekend. Dad's one of the greatest things about having a perfect Heavenly Father is that that position is filled. That perfect Father, that position is filled. You aren't perfect. You don't have to be. That position is filled. The greatest thing about God being perfect is that we don't have to be perfect. That we just got to make sure that our kids know about God's grace, His loving kindness, and be confident that God will fill your gaps. Did you hear me? God will fill your gaps. There's going to be gaps in your parenting, my friend. There's going to be gaps. And the great thing is you can be confident and you can be convinced that every one of those gaps will be filled by the gracious kindness and loving mercy of God. Amen. It will be filled. And then when we mess up our parenting, we can understand that God is still perfect. The other day I went to play golf. But just before I left, I got angry with one of my kids because he was being a little punk. Some of you are like, yeah, my kids are punks too. And I got a bit angry with him, a little bit too much angry with him. Don't worry, I didn't abuse him. I just got angry with him. Just got angry. You ever got too angry with your kids? Let's be honest. You ever gotten too angry and walked away and just thought, man, I am the worst parent that God ever made? Hey, honestly, like, you've thought it, haven't you, right? Like, I did that just last week, right? And I go to play golf and I start praying and I'm literally starting to tear up a bit as I'm saying, God, all I know how to do is mess this kid up. You ever thought that? All I know how to do is make this kid worse. I feel like I'm messing him up, God. What am I doing wrong? And I just felt like God reminded me just then and there that, hey, it's His job to be perfect. I'm teaching my kids to love Jesus. I'm teaching my kids to understand the grace and the mercy of God. And God will fill my gaps. And I just had peace all of a sudden as I realized that I may make a mistake. I may yell at him more than I should. I may have gotten angry or whatever else. I may have overreacted to his underreaction. But God is still good. And God will take care of my boy. And God will take care of me. Amen. Parents, you need to know that. Dads, you need to know that too. That when we lose our temper, God is not easily angered. When we say things we shouldn't, God will not ever act in anything other than love and respond with mercy. So do your best and trust God with the rest. Let God be the perfect one. Is that good for you? And always tell your kids, God is perfect. I'm not. God is perfect. I'm not. That's why I need God. Be humble, be honest, relax. God is always good, so make sure they know Him. Ladies, that's good for you too. This idea of perfect mothering. Facebook and Instagram, while wonderful tools for connection and relationship, have also become ridiculous tools for expectation on your lives. You will never be as good of a mom as your friend is on Facebook. You will never be as good of a dad as your friends are on Instagram. That will never happen. And you've created these ideas in your head, these perfecting ideas that we cannot match up to. Ladies and gentlemen, relax. God is always good. Make sure our kids know that we are human, but God is perfect, and make sure they know Him. Don't take yourself too seriously. Micah chapter 6 says, God has shown you, O mortal ones, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What a wonderful passage of scripture. Walk humbly. How do you walk humbly? I'm not perfect. Don't act like you're perfect. Don't pretend you don't make mistakes. God didn't say that the thing He requires of us is to be perfect, never make mistakes, and walk with God. He simply says, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Act justly. And when you don't act justly, love the fact that God has mercy on you and be humble before God. Come on, don't be so serious. Don't beat yourself up so much. Simply say, I messed up. Have a laugh, shake it off, move on. You know, last week, I made a mistake. last Saturday night in the sermon. I don't know if you were there or not. Miraculously, last week I made a mistake. Then this week was our biggest Saturday night service ever. So I don't know what that means. It means y'all are weird. That's what it means. But last week I made a mistake for real in my sermon. In the middle of my sermon, I got tongue twisted telling a story, and I mixed three words together and accidentally dropped a cuss word in the middle of my sermon. Like a very well pronounced, a very strong, and a very loud bomb in the middle of my sermon. Now, everybody knew it was a mistake, and everybody knew it was a result of mixing words together, but still felt like an idiot in front of everyone. But after a while, I realized something. No one's perfect. Everyone gets tongue twisted, right? We all make mistakes. So rather than continue being frustrated with myself, after a few seconds, I started to laugh. And guess what? After a good old laugh, I felt better. Everyone else was laughing at me, so I may as well too, right? Everyone makes mistakes. Now, admittedly, not everybody gets tongue twisted and drops an F-bomb in the middle of a sermon on a stage in front of everybody with a microphone. But everybody does get tongue twisted and accidentally say things every now and again, am I right? Have a laugh. And I love that we're in a church that didn't get too serious and be like, oh my gosh, the pastor's gonna burn in hell. Instead, they all had a laugh and realized a mistake happened. Chill out, relax. God is still good. Don't take yourself too seriously. When you mess up, you make a mistake, you've got a few options. Two of them are let pride rule your life, get defensive and get mad that people are laughing at you, or laugh with them. I choose laugh with them. I'd rather be humble and accept the fact it was funny than walk around sad and moping that people are laughing at me. Wouldn't you? No, I'm not asking you because you're not responding. You're responding really well. Super responsive crowd. I love you. You're awesome. But is anyone alive in here? If you're alive, give me a wave. Some of y'all are confused. It's not a trick question, right? It's not now. Now, you all have to leave. No, it's not a trick question. If you're not sure if you're alive, like, just ask your neighbor sitting next to you to punch you in the shoulder. If it hurts, you're alive, okay? If you're not sure. Give me a wave if you're still making mistakes and you're alive. Give me a wave. Maybe they're frequent, maybe they're occasional, but, you know, give me a wave. You're still making mistakes? Yeah. Some of y'all are like, not me. I made a mistake since I gave my life to Jesus. No, your mistake is pride, and you know what? We love you too. It's okay. It's okay that you're still making mistakes. It's all right. Be humble. None of us are going to hate you for making different mistakes than us. Check out Romans 12, chapter 3. Let's whack it up on the screen up here. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Romans 12, 3. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. Do not think higher of yourself than you ought to. Now, at first glance, you would agree with me, wouldn't you, Durkan? That at first glance, this sounds like a real Australian-inspired insult. Now, see, we have this thing in Australia called tall poppy syndrome. See, poppies are these beautiful flowers in the fields, right? And they're all perfectly lined up. They're all perfectly the same height. And you look at it, it's like someone's lawn is flowers and has been perfectly mowed. It's delightful, right? They're beautiful. And what they all do is they grow at the same rate. But if one poppy should rise higher than the other poppies, and now they're like this, but there's another poppy above it, all the other flowers choke that poppy till it dies. Some violent flowers in Australia, isn't there? Y'all like don't like the spiders. Don't walk in a field of flowers. They will kill you. They will choke you till you die. In Australia, we talk about how this tall poppy syndrome has become a way of thinking for people in our society. If someone excels, we find a reason to pull them down, remind them of their past, where they came from, or their mistakes. We say things that sound slightly similar to this scripture. Why do you think you're so good? Who do you think you are? Stop acting like you're better than us. You're just human. You're just a farm boy from Tatura. You're just a farm girl from Adel. Stop thinking like you're better than us. Stop acting like you're more than us. Or we start making excuses for other people's success, saying things like this. Well, if I was given the opportunities that they were given, I'd be even better off than them. If mom and dad gave me the money that your mom and dad gave you, I would have made more than you. If people treated me the way that you treat me, I would be as good as you. It's not you, it's who set you up. And we start saying things like that, rather than celebrating their success like Scripture tells us to. Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Did you hear that? Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I don't want to get caught in one or the other of those. I want to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I don't only want to mourn with the mourners. I tell you what, if you want to pull people down, if you just want to be like all sad and sorry because someone's excelling, just choose to mourn with people who mourn and stay away from the people who have success, all right? I want to do both. I don't want tall poppy syndrome in my life. I would rather celebrate people winning and commiserate with people struggling than pull people down. We need to celebrate the flowers that grow taller than us. This scripture is not a weapon to tell other people to stop thinking so highly of themselves. It's not a weapon to throw at people that I think need to be brought down a peg or two. It's a scripture to encourage me to understand the work of God in my life, to be grateful and thankful for what God is doing in me. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought is not just some rebuke of people who think they are too cool for school, but it's a wonderful encouragement for all of us as well. I heard a story about Denzel Washington or someone, I think it was Denzel, playing golf with Tiger Woods. Denzel was playing, he's hitting a couple of okay balls and he's hitting some really bad ones. It's like my golf. I hit one good ball every day and that one good ball is why I come back to play golf, right? I'm like, now next time I want to do two good hits, right? And Denzel, he hits one good one, then he hits some really bad ones, and as the day wore on, he began to get seriously angry, yelling, cussing, screaming, club bending. Ah! You know how people get so mad when they're playing golf. And Tiger Woods says to him, bro, you're not good enough to be this angry. What he means by that is, dude, you're not a good enough golf player to be so mad about a bad shot. In the same way, Jesus is saying to you, bro, sis, you're not perfect enough to be this angry at yourself. Stop treating yourself like you should be perfect. You're not good enough to be this angry. You're not perfect enough to be this upset with yourself. Stop thinking of yourself higher than you ought. Keep your self-talk in tune with the faith and the work that God is doing in you. We're all on a journey with the Lord. Every one of us is different. Every one of us, you know, back to what we talked, every one of us did start off different. Some of us did start off with better families than other families. And we're all on our own journey. Let's not compare us. Let's not drag them down or try and lift us up by dragging them down. Let's just look at what God is doing in our lives and where He has brought us from. Some of us may be driving Corvettes, growing real fast, straight down the highway. Our growth track with God is just excelling. Some of us may be in a Prius, growing a little slower, but making a whole lot less noise. Either way, God is the one who is perfect, not you. God is the one who will transform you and perfect you. And He is doing that in all of you right now. It's okay. You're okay. We're okay with you. But most importantly, God's okay with your journey. You're on a journey, all right? Just don't get so frustrated with yourself that you park the car and stop driving toward the goal. Just keep driving. Take a wrong turn, recalculating route. Get back on track. Come on now. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Stands to reason that that makes sense for yourself, right? Be gentle on yourself. Calm down. Relax. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Failure is okay if we stay the course. Making mistakes is okay if we never give up the struggle. And you, my friend, you're okay. Be gentle. If you'd be gentle to this other person, be gentle to yourself. Found out that somebody did something wrong. You're an idiot! Is not particularly gentle. Would you agree? Do the same with yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Stop cursing yourself out. Stop telling yourself how much of a loser you think you are. God is still good to you. God is perfect and God will perfect you, but enjoy the journey. Have a laugh about it. I can't believe I did that again. And move on. And move on. Amen. God bless you. Can I tell you another reason why you need to relax and stop taking yourself so seriously? Thank you, Stephanie. And was it you? Good, you too, listening. Everyone else want to know one more reason? Yeah, cool. The great side effect of not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought is that you tend to be kinder to other people and more gracious to them in their mistakes. See, if we live a life realizing and admitting our own struggles, we are more likely to want to help other people in their struggle too. We lose the desire to look down on people, and we lose the desire to separate ourselves from others who sin more than us. We tend to be more gracious on them if we're gracious with ourselves. That's why you got to be kind to, you know, people who are really mean to people who make mistakes? You should be nice to that person because they're probably harder on themselves than they are on you. We're not only nice to people who get hurt by people, we're nice to people who hurt people. That person is probably harder on themselves than they are on you. Be gracious and kind and gentle to them too. Wednesday's verse of the day was make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Don't you feel like in church perhaps there's become this inclination to go the opposite direction? Someone has a fault. Crush them now. Destroy them. Hurt them. Kick them out. Make allowances for other people's faults. It's not saying make excuses. It's not saying, you know, someone come to you and you know, they've been caught looking at porn again. And we're not going, oh man, you're just designed that way. Enjoy it. Love it. It's good. No, we're not making excuses. We're making allowances. We're not encouraging wrong behavior. We're making space for the person who behaves wrong. Make space for them. Make an allowance for them. Make sure they know that they need to stay hanging out with us. Stay in the presence of God. Don't hurt them. Don't judge them. Don't rebuke them like they're some tiny little child that needs a smack on the bottom so that they run away and leave the house of God and the presence of God and the people of God. For it is the house of God and the presence of God that their lives will be transformed. When you're kinder to yourself, you're kinder to others. When you're humble about your own righteousness, when you're humble about the fact that you were not righteous, God made you righteous. When you're humble about the fact that your behavior doesn't dictate your acceptance to the Father, but being accepted by the Father is dictating your better behavior, then you'll be kinder to other people and you'll make allowances for them. It simply means make space for them. Make allowances doesn't mean excuses or even say, yeah, that's good. Well done. Cheated on your wife. Proud of you, son. No, it means make space for the person in the struggle. Allow them to grow. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We're not saying make excuses for mediocrity. We're not saying live a mediocre life. God did not design you for mediocrity. God did not design you to live a mediocre life. I'm certainly not saying you should keep sinning and just go with the flow. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, I'm saying understand the work of the Lord in your life. Love His mercy. Be kind to yourself when you fail, but get back on the horse and aim high. And then be kind to others too, while encouraging them to get back on the horse and aim high, inspiring them to do their best and never stop having big faith. Amen. Love mercy. Be humble. Be a lover of the mercy you have received and be a giver of mercy to others. You know, one of the greatest keys to growing a church like ours and raising up leaders and loving people in all the different stages of their life or mess is loving mercy and making allowances, not excuses, for others. Can I be honest with you? Actually, would you stand up? I'm going to get ready to land the plane soon. Can I be honest with you, though, about our church's growth and leadership and all of the people involved, including myself? One of the greatest reasons for our church's growth, one of the greatest keys, is that we love mercy and we make allowances for people and then we kindly help them overcome their mistakes and the consequences of them. We help them through them. We'll make it easier for them. In our church, every single person has probably at some point done something to frustrate me or someone else. Can we be real? It's just true. But you know what? I make space for them. I make space for that frustration. I make space for that error in hopes that they'll do the same for me when I accidentally cuss in sermons. We make space for people, right? You know, I've had people come to this church and become incredible weapons of warfare for the kingdom of God. Come to this church from other places where they have been rejected and then do incredible things for God here. People have been wounded, whether by their own mistakes or other people's at other churches. I've had phone calls from other people around town warning me about people who turn up at my church. You better be careful of that one. They were a real hassle for us. I'm like, shut up. Shut up. That one gossips about you. I know in our church they gossiped about me. What makes you so special? They gossiped about everyone in the church. Who cares if they added you to the list? Like, get over it. It happens. Make space for them. Help them not do that. Don't kick them out of the place that would help them. But this is a house of mercy. You know, the great thing about a house of mercy is no other house matters than what you did there. Nothing else matters. I don't care what happened there. And so when I get those phone calls, I say, shut up. I'm Australian, so they let me off with saying that to them. Say it in a nice voice. I'm like, shut up, dude. I don't care about that. And they're like, oh, he's Australian. He can say that. In this house, I love mercy. I love the mercy I have received, and I love being a giver of mercy. We're all givers of mercy. We all love redemption stories, don't we, right? You love them too? Yeah? You all like, you know, you watch things like The Pursuit of Happiness, and there's Will Smith. He's all down and out and homeless, and life sucks. But 2 hours later, it's amazing. He owns a multi-million-dollar corporation investment firm, and it's amazing. We love a redemption story, but TV has ruined the process, I think, for many of us. We all love the story. You know what I love more than the story is the journey. I love the redemption journey. That's my favorite bit, not the story. In real life, people don't just go from having a messed up family, cheating on their spouse, and everything falling apart. And then, you know, we're praying for them, and like 2 hours later, we're like, why aren't they awesome yet? Because it's not TV. It's real life. If you only look at the snapshots, all you see is they were this, and God was good. Yay, they're up here now. If you go on the journey with them, You can see that they did this and God's grace was good. They did this and God's mercy was good. Then they did it again and God's grace was good. And they did that again and God's mercy was good. And God's mercy and God's mercy and God's mercy and God's mercy. You get to see it time and time again. You get to see the goodness and the greatness of God day by day, step by step. And I love seeing the mercy of God. The journey is awesome. The end is great. But I love being on the journey with people so I get to see the neat things that God is doing in their lives. We don't mind being in the mess with you as you become all that God designed you to be, because each and every one of us was in a mess before He lifted us out of the miry clay. As Scripture says, some of us still get attracted to the mud every now and again. I know I have. I don't fall into the mud as much as I used to. I thank God that I'm nowhere near where I used to be. But I'm not where I need to be yet. I'm on my way. And between here and there, I'm going to land in the mud a couple of times, but gracious people like you will be there to help me, amen? And same for you. So I say all of that to say this to everyone in the room, whether you've been a believer for 30 minutes or 30 years, stop thinking of yourself more perfect than you ought. Don't take yourself too seriously. When you make a mistake, do something wrong, get embarrassed or whatever it is, stay on the bus. Stay on the bus. God is good whether you behave or not. Someone say amen. I want to talk to some people in this room. In a moment, we're going to do an altar call where if anyone wants to give their life to Jesus, I'll get you to pray a prayer with me. But before that, I want to talk to you about Christian perfection. Some of you have been carrying the weight of Christian perfection. Someone once wrote a book. I hate it. Christian perfection. I do. I don't hate the man. He's a good man. But stupid book. Christian perfection. It's not something you should be trying to be. It's not something you even can be until you go to be in glory with Jesus. That'll be awesome. Christian perfection has become a weight that people have carried, and it's a burden. Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest, and my burden is light. 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 Not heavy. But we have put this heavy burden of Christian perfection on people. A friend of mine gets mad at me, and he's a friend, but the bigger your church gets, the more people think they're free to tell you you're an idiot. And so that's becoming more frequent. Stop inviting your friends and people will stop telling me I'm an idiot. You know, like people say, no offense, but you're an idiot. It's like, dude, that was offensive. Like, I love you, brother, but he gets angry because he says that we haven't put up enough hurdles for people in their Christian faith. And it broke my heart because I love the guy. Because that thing over there, that cross on the wall, that erased every hurdle. Every hurdle. I don't need to put hurdles in front of people who want to give their lives to Jesus Christ. I don't need to put hurdles in front of people who want to love the Lord and love people too. That removed the hurdles. It's His job to perfect us, His job to renew us, His job to transform us. Scripture says it is the goodness and the grace of God and the kindness of God that transforms our lives. So it's my job to make sure you know Him, and He will transform your life and make you more like Him. Hashtag distracted. Now let's get back to what I was saying. This weight of Christian perfection, if you've been carrying it, close your eyes right now. Everyone. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now to speak to you. If you've been carrying this weight of Christian perfection and you've got some struggles and this unattainable, frivolous idea has hurt you, has made you feel like Christianity is a burden instead of a blessing, while no one's looking around, as an act of faith, I'm going to believe in a moment as you raise your hand that that's your act of faith, saying, God, take the burden, release me of the shame. If that's you, lift up your hand right now. And you're just saying, God, take the burden, release me of the shame. Hallelujah. There must be 40 hands up in this place. 50 hands at least. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ah. If you believe that God is good and you want to help me pray for these people, just lift up your hands in faith. And if you didn't, if you lifted up your hand, lift it up as well. Everyone, if you just want to pray with me. Heavenly Father. Oh, no, I'm just going to pray. You just agree, all right? Heavenly Father, touch them. Every person that lifted up their hands, carrying a weight, an unattainable weight, a frivolous pursuit. God, release them. Holy Spirit, by your power, come and release them right now. Come on, Holy Spirit, just fall upon them. He's moving on you right now. Just break it. Break it. Break that unattainable shame. Break it. Break it. Gone off their lives. Release them in Jesus' name. Release them in Jesus' name. God, I pray for every one of those people that right now, as the shame is removed and cast away, that they would be full of hope and confidence that you are the perfecter, that you are the transformer, that you are the one who renews them, who heals them, who makes them whole and makes them into what you designed them to be. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and fill their hearts with peace and joy, and that they would feel the wonderful blessing of this life in pursuit of a friendship with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, everyone, yell out some praise to God.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.